You're listening to the Q's Podcast, episode 76. Welcome to another episode of the Q's Podcast, everybody. We use this forum to talk to credit union industry leaders and cross-industry experts for a wide range of perspectives on trends and topics relevant to you. I'm your host, James Lenz, Q's Professional Development Manager. In this podcast episode, we'll discuss a topic that almost every credit union faces, how to successfully recruit, engage, and retain millennial board members. Our very special guest for today is James Sackett. James Sackett joined the board of directors at Firefly Credit Union in 2015 at age 28. Over that time, James has served on several board committees and task forces, including Firefly's CEO Search Task Force. He also has been chair of the Technology and Nominating Committee. Currently, James serves as the board vice chair and chair of the Governance Committee. In recognition of his contributions to Firefly and the credit union movement, James received the 2018 Distinguished Director Award. Outside of Firefly, James is Senior Director of Marketing Operations at United Health Group, focused on member experience and digital transformation. You'll find out soon that James is a very well-spoken and intellectually curious individual who places great care and focus on his development as a credit union director. He offers a unique perspective on how to tackle a lot of the challenges surrounding recruiting, engaging, and retaining millennial board members. Some highlights from my interview with James include the roles and responsibilities of credit union directors, a list of the value adds that millennial board members bring to the table, the unique contributions of more experienced board members, tactics for identifying and attracting millennials to serve on the board, a list of traits critical of any board member, the role of board assessments, and sound practical advice on retaining and engaging board members. Now it's time to join the conversation with James Sackett. Hi, James. Welcome to the show. Thanks for spending some time with Q's Podcast Nation.
James, fantastic to be here. As you know, I am a fan of yours and the show, and it's exciting to be able to spend some time with the Q's Podcast Nation.
Yeah, you know, I've been looking forward to this conversation. We discussed this, you know, you coming on the show back in December at the 2018 Q's Directors Conference. You said, yeah, you are a listener of the show, and I kind of am curious, what do you do when you listen to the show? Are you driving to work or whatever? I think you were mowing the lawn, which is really strange because you're from Minnesota, and I know in December there's a lot of snow. So no, I'm just kidding. So how did you spend time? Is that mowing the lawn in the summer and that? Do you do it driving to work or working out, or when do you listen to it? What are you doing?
It is mostly mowing the lawn. That's my best time to have some alone time for a reasonable duration of time. But otherwise, I really like to listen to it driving to and from my board meetings. It really puts me in the right frame of mind as I go to serve the credit union.
Wow, pretty neat. It's been great learning about the service you provide to your credit union, your members, and your greater community. You're involved with a lot of different things and very active. Could you please share with our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I call myself a credit union enthusiast. Junkie didn't sound quite right. Nerd didn't sound quite right, but enthusiast is the right word. I'm a lifelong credit union member and definitely a believer in the mission and the movement. On the personal side, although I live in Minnesota, like you said, I'm a purebred Wisconsinite, so I bleed red, and I'm married to a superhero and the daddy to two perfect children. And then on the professional side, outside of volunteering at Firefly, I work recently just started working with United Health Group, leading digital transformation initiatives for them.
Very nice. Now, there's been a lot of developments going on at Firefly Credit Union over the last few years. It all starts with the Firefly team, the people that make up the organization and its focus on talent development. Previously, I've had the opportunity to interview another member of your greater team. This individual is recognized as a 2017 Q's Next Top Credit Union Exec Award recipient. I'm talking about Jeff Bullock. Now, Jeff, what a wonderful individual. I know he's added great value to the Firefly Credit Union organization and its members on a number of levels. I encourage listeners to check out my interview with Jeff back in episode 37. He shares his compelling story and project leading up to the NTCUE competition, and his project is pretty special. So I encourage you to check that out if you haven't, listeners. And now is a good time to mention that the former CEO of Firefly Credit Union, Bill Raker, is a Q's Hall of Fame inductee. I know he's enjoying his retirement now. Dale Turner is now leading Firefly Credit Union as president and CEO. So exciting times going on there at Firefly Credit Union. Now, in addition, I don't know if you know this or not, but the 2018 Q's Distinguished Director Award recipient also came from your credit union, from Firefly Credit Union. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name is James Sackett. So that's you. So listeners, he is the Q's Distinguished Director Award winner. So congratulations, James.
Thank you very much, James. It's been quite an honor. And I like to remind people, for a brief period of time, Firefly was led by a Q's Hall of Famer and had the sitting Q's Next Top Credit Union exec and the Q's Distinguished Director. So it was quite an award-winning year for us.
Yeah, that was really, really neat to see. And before you say too much, let me play for you, James, and especially for Q's Podcast Nation, the audio pulled from the video that was generated to announce you as the Distinguished Director Award winner. This video took place in front of over 500 people at the 2018 Q's Directors Conference. Let me cue the clip so we can take a listen. As a director at Firefly Credit Union in Burnsville, Minnesota, James Sackett is committed to creating a culture of continuous board learning and improvement. James leads by example, attending and completing multiple professional development training courses, and encourages others to become well-informed in credit union matters as well. He is a consistent advocate for board member accountability, meeting preparation, and offering perspectives on the credit union movement. In addition, he initiated the process to formally define and document his credit union's merger and acquisition policy, was a leading advocate for increasing the credit union's social media usage, and has attended community education events presented by his credit union to ensure the offerings presented to members and the community are of value. He is revamping the technology of his board related to reports to ensure they are more meaningful and easier for directors to consume. He continues to improve access to reports and data to help the board make better informed decisions related to investment in both digital services and brick and mortar branches. His influence extends outside the boardroom through additional volunteering. He has been involved in opportunities such as representing his credit union by judging the Minnesota State DECA competition, participating in multiple Habitat for Humanity building projects, volunteering at the Minnesota Special Olympics State Hockey Tournament, and volunteering at The Link, a nonprofit organization focused on overcoming poverty and social injustice. In his free time, he enjoys traveling with his wife Molly, golfing, fishing, rooting for the Green Bay Packers, and spending time with his daughter Gemma and brand new baby Nolan, born just a few weeks ago. For his unwavering service to his credit union, the movement, and his community, Q's is pleased to announce that James Sackett of Firefly Credit Union is the 2018 Q's Distinguished Director. Oh, that's pretty cool. At the time of this recording, it's been about 8 months since you received the award. So reflecting on this, James, what does it mean to you to receive the Q's Distinguished Director Award?
I mean, really, it's just an amazing honor, and it was really extremely humbling. It's, you know, because I volunteer because I love it and because I'm passionate about the mission, like I said earlier. So being recognized for that service and with this honor was really just incredible, an incredible honor for me and for Firefly as well.
Congratulations again on that honor. James, I know you're a longtime listener to the show, so it isn't a surprise to you when I say that I often like to start the show with a little bit of inspiration. We do that by means of the guest sharing his or her mantra or professional success quote. It's neat to learn about the various perspectives from credit union leaders. James, do you have a mantra or success quote you'd be willing to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I have quite a few sayings that I go by, but I think the one I would share here is, it's one of Covey's 7 Habits of Successful People, and it's begin with the end in mind. So for me, always staying focused on the why and the desired outcomes of whatever it is that I'm working on or we as a credit union are working on really keeps me and us as a group on the path to success.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I like that you have his work that is Covey as a mentor. His son, Stephen M.R. Covey, will be speaker at the Q's CEO Executive Team Network in November. And you can find out more information at Q's.org/CNET about the agenda. But anyways, that's really neat. Now, today we're focusing on the topic of recruiting and engaging and retaining millennial board members. A good place to start, I think, is to find out how you first became involved in serving on the credit union board of directors. How did this take shape?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I think it really all started for me when I was really young. I mean, literally as far back as I can remember. I grew up in a very credit union friendly household. My dad has been on the board of a credit union my entire life and still is to this day. Wow. So he was letting me tag along to Q's conferences back in the day. And there was always Q's swag and credit union swag around the house. So it was always just something I just grew up around. So I've always known about them and loved them. And then I think, you know, based on that and then taking the steps in my professional career, I knew I wanted to be involved in some way and also thought that I had a lot to offer, just knowing about the credit union and financial services and how things are evolving and the need for the younger people with perspective. And when I moved to Minneapolis, I joined Firefly Credit Union at the request of my, or the recommendation, I should say, of my older brother. Mm-hmm. So I joined and then reached out and inquired about the board and got in contact with them and started the process, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's really interesting. I didn't know that your dad was a board member. Really unique. Yeah. And had Q swag around. So that was,
that's right.
It was meant to be.
That's right.
Very nice. I always strive for our show, the Q's podcast episodes, to deliver value to our listeners. I know time available in one's schedule is often the greatest limiting factor. So I appreciate all of you out there listening to the show and listening to past episodes. I think this episode will propagate discussion on recruiting, engaging, and retaining younger directors, but I also visualize this episode as being used as a tool for board of directors to share with individuals who they are considering nominating to serve on the board, or just for individuals who want to know more about what it means to be a board member. So a couple of ways I think this will have value. So my next question relates to my second point. What do you see as the role and responsibilities of credit union board of directors?
Yeah, good question. I think there's some very academic answers, and there's some fluffier answers or more abstract answers. So I think starting on a little more maybe of the academic side, it's the big three that come to mind for me are strategic leadership, corporate governance, and then enterprise risk management. So, you know, typical millennial stuff. I think more abstractly, I would argue that a good board member has a responsibility to care about the future of the financial services market and people's financial well-being, knowing that with those things that I led off with there, with the strategic leadership and corporate governance and enterprise risk management, that's pretty meaty stuff. So I think, yeah, you know, really caring and being invested in it is really important and pretty critical for a critical responsibility for a director.
So that's really interesting. Now that you summarize the roles and responsibilities of directors, you know, for the sake of clarity, what are some examples of roles and responsibilities that are not tasked to the board and that credit union board of directors should stay away from?
Yeah, I think really broadly stated, it's the operations of the credit union, the day-to-day, the logistics, the, you know, keeping the lights on kind of stuff. As a board, we ultimately have accountability for a lot of things in the credit union, but we delegate that authority to management. And it's important to make sure that the lines of responsibility and accountability are clear. Realistically, we try and stay away from the operations of the credit union. Every once in a while, the conversation tends to go there, whether because you're, you know, diagnosing some sort of issue or thinking about strategic issues and the impacts they're going to have on financials and things like that. And that tends to lead you in that direction. But in general, we try to stay away from that stuff. I think we should stay away from that stuff. Two examples I would share is, you mentioned earlier on that we have a new CEO at Firefly Credit Union, and Dale Turner. We set the stage with him and with ourselves that as we get him in and onboarded, like he's been doing for the last several months now, the conversations might get a little more operational just as we get an understanding of how he operates and how the credit union is going to change or evolve under his leadership. And then once we've kind of built that rapport and trust and understanding, then we're backing away. So it ebbs and flows a little bit, but ultimately that's the the job of management. And then the second example is our chief marketing officer at Firefly loves to remind us that everybody thinks they're a marketer. Just because you use social media and you get ads in the mail does not make you a marketer. So let the marketers do their jobs. Those are some of the things that we should stay away from.
That's good advice, I think. That's Marty, isn't it?
It is Marty.
Yes, I've got a chance to meet him. Wonderful guy, and he does some great work there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So very good reflection there. I appreciate that. It's common knowledge that nonprofits in general struggle to recruit and attract younger board members. I think I saw in a recent survey that 57% of nonprofit boards are over the age of 50, while only 17% are under 40. Based on numerous conversations, articles related to the subject, and surveys we've conducted with our members, credit unions are also challenged with the task of attracting younger board members to better reflect their membership base and future desired membership base. James, as a millennial and as a millennial credit union director and vice chair, what value do you see in credit unions attracting and retaining millennial board of directors? What are your thoughts on the value add that millennial board members bring to the table?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's really important to keep top of mind so that when you do bring in millennials, if you're able to, or just younger board members in general, that you're doing it for the right reasons. So I think the value that a younger board member like myself or millennial board members can bring to the credit union, to the board, are first, diversity of perspective. I mean, there's plenty of studies out there that show that diverse thought generates more robust opinions and perspectives and strategies. So that's the first one. I think the other two are more around leadership. When one is bench strength. So if you have a longer tenured board and they start to move on, all of a sudden you create this huge leadership void in the board, and that can be an issue and set the credit union back a little ways. And the other is related to that is just future leadership. So I think I can't remember. The book was either Built to Last or Good to Great. They're by the same author. I'm forgetting his name. I apologize. But in there, they highlighted that the companies that really have success over the long term do a really nice job of bringing people in, bringing future leaders in at a level or two below where they ultimately want them to be. So the example is, in the studies that they did, when you bring in a brand new CEO from a different company, you tend to have a lower success rate than if you had recruited that person in as a vice president or some other role in the C-suite and then let them learn the organization and promote them up to that level. So I think by having some of the younger people that can spend more time with the credit union and get to know it, that's some of the value you get there. And then I think some of the other value that millennials bring is really around representation of a target market. It's very obvious that millennials get a lot of attention right now with marketing, and they're a really huge generation, and just the sheer population and demographic is something that's really targeted right now. So I think getting that perspective can be really, really valuable to the credit union as we target those members, or future members, I should say. It's just really just a tighter connection with that typically underrepresented demographic of what, you know, as we think about the strategy of the credit union, where we want our branches, do we want branches, how do we invest in digital, how do we invest in social media. I think having somebody at the table that can give you a perspective on how somebody of that target market will react to it, or what we think is important, or what sort of things that we notice out there in the market.
Well stated. That makes sense. I want to quickly give you the opportunity to also share your insights on experienced board members. What unique attributes do more experienced board members provide to credit unions?
Yeah, really good question. I'm glad that you brought that up, because so it's not all about the younger side of things.
Right.
I'm a strong advocate of bringing younger people in, but I'm really not an out with the old, in with the new kind of guy. I think it's really all things in balance. So again, while I advocate for younger board members, I'm also a firm believer that tenured board members bring a lot of value to the table. I've seen it firsthand with my dad serving on a board for multiple decades now, I'll say. And just, you know, having conversations with him now that I'm involved and kind of know what I'm talking about and can lead some of those conversations, it's clear that those people bring a lot to the table. And Firefly's had some really valuable board members retire, and we miss them. And, they've taken a lot of perspective and experience with them. So, you know, in some of the more tangible things that come with the value of a more tenured or experienced board member is just things that they've seen since they've been in the credit union that somebody that's new hasn't seen. So take now, for example, we're looking at the economic cycle. We're reaching what appears to be the end of a bull market, and what happens there in rising rate environments and things like that. Executive turnover, having that experience around during those bigger moments can be extremely, extremely valuable.
I think your sponsors are right on as well, and very valuable. All that makes good sense. Another question I wanted to ask, James, if a credit union understands the importance of getting younger members to serve on the board, what are some steps or even modes of thinking to begin the process of seeing progress in this area?
Yeah, great question. Really deep question. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is do something. Don't get stuck thinking about it. Don't get stuck in, you know, it's a tall task to find new members, let alone younger members. So too often I've heard board members wanting the secret to having younger board members just magically appear. And that just doesn't happen. It just happened that I reached out to Firefly, but that's not going to happen everywhere. So you really have to work at it. I can very clearly picture people at multiple conferences, multiple Q's conferences, asking that same question over and over again, just like waiting for a different answer or something. So you got to get out there and you got to do something. And then how do you go about doing that? I think it goes back to my quote again. It's beginning with the end in mind. Why do you want the younger board members? What skills or perspective are you looking for? And then using some of the tools like networking and searching for those skills and perspectives on LinkedIn or going to your local university or finding your local young professionals group. So those are some of the ways that you can go about that. And then I really think about when you want to get somebody younger to serve on your board, or maybe it brings a new perspective or a new demographic, maybe that's a great time to contemplate your board member experience. We talk a lot about member experience and customer experience and maybe even employee experience, but think also about your board member experience. Is volunteering with your organization conducive to a younger individual? Are you thinking about people who are early in their careers, have growing families, like myself? So what are some of the things that you can look at in terms of your board member experience? It's look at the meeting times. Look at where you're meeting. How are you meeting? Do you meet during the day, during the work day? That's going to be tough for somebody that's early in their career. Is it a weeknight? Could it be moved to a weekend? Just thinking about, you know, with those people and the kind of people that you want to join, you might need to be a little flexible or expand a policy perhaps to let people dial in remotely if they travel for work, things like that. Other things to look at would be looking at your meeting materials. I know there's a lot of credit unions that are moving from paper to online, moving to a board portal of some sort. Do you have a board portal? Can somebody that's on the go get to your materials? Is it mobily accessible? Can I get to it if I'm walking through the airport or sitting down at my gate to study up before I fly home? And I've even heard the most extreme example I've heard is that there's a credit union in Canada that even offers babysitting during their board meetings. That's just crazy to me. That's wow. The most inclusive thing that I have heard. So it really depends on what kind of people you want. And then thinking about how you as an organization can flex. And obviously you can't put everything on the table, but what are some of the things that you can consider to be a better fit for those people?
I love this conversation so far. But if people just listen to what you just said over the last 3.5 minutes, that is so much that they can pull from and work on. And just the questions you generated, that is awesome. Thank you so much. As a younger credit union board member who has been very active on your board and in your community, what enticed you to become a credit union board member? I know you touched on this a bit, but and then in general, what can attract others? Because there's a challenge out there, right, for lots of credit unions. So generally speaking, what can attract others to serve on the credit union board? Based on your experiences, what are the benefits? I know you may have answered this a bit, but feel free to expand on anything there too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think specific to me, to answer the first part of your question, it's what attracted me is, like I said before, I'm really passionate about the mission. Personal finance and financial services are extremely interesting topics to me and things that I get really fired up about, and credit unions get me fired up, and I could talk your ear off or anybody else's ear off for hours if you let me about them. But I think the other and maybe even most important factor is the fact that I knew I could get involved. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, credit unions are different than banks. Credit unions are democratic organizations with volunteer boards, and we need to make sure people understand that. So sometimes just getting the message out is the biggest hurdle, just the awareness that people can get involved. So many people are surprised when I tell them that I'm involved because they just didn't know that was a thing. So then I think looking at some of the other factors around what could interest somebody else or how can we attract somebody else and some of those benefits, when I meet with prospective candidates or people that are interested in going through the nomination process, I tend to really talk a lot about the mutually beneficial nature of the role. Credit unions are a great way, you know, volunteering with a credit union is a great way to make an excellent impact in the community with the people that we serve and the markets that we serve and the businesses that we're able to serve, while also helping to further an organization and develop an organization. And then for yourself, you gain incredibly valuable professional experience along the way. There's not many people that are my peers right now that get the exposure to the conversations that I have exposure to. And it helps me in my professional life. And I can replay that back into the credit union and take my professional experiences and bring them there. And it's really just, if you're able to, if you're interested and you know you can get involved and you want to get involved, there's so many benefits to you, the organization, and to the community. So it's, if that message jives with somebody, then it's usually a slam dunk and they'll try and get involved. But I think it's really just knowing you can get involved is the first step.
You are a credit union enthusiast, by the way. You are correct. Wow, that's just exuding from there. And this next question is actually linked to some of the things you just said. You know, James, what, in your mind, are a set of traits you consider to be critical for any member, for any board member to possess?
Good question. I think first, I would say that being a millennial is not a critical trait. Bringing on a younger board member or a millennial, in my example, is to, just to check a box. It can really be a mistake if you're not doing it for the right reasons or getting the person involved for the right reasons or they don't know what they're getting into. It's just kind of having that person around alone doesn't really do the trick. So I think broadly, really, I could argue that having life experience is really the only critical trait. That would be one school of thought, but I think more specifically keeping in mind with our charge as credit union leaders is things like critical thinking, really. I mean, being able to process situations and strategic discussions and market trends and financials and operations and all that, just really understanding the impacts of the decisions and the conversations you're having is really important. I think the one that I talk about the most when I get fired up on credit union conversations is having perspective. And this kind of comes back to the part about just being a millennial isn't enough. It's not enough to just show up at a meeting and answer questions when they're asked of you. That could be done with a focus group or, you know, a phone interview or something like that. So having perspective and being able to bring that to the table and offering that up instead of just kind of being called on, I think is really important, really critical aspect of being a board member. Of course, there's basic things like basic financial acumen, understanding of financials. Realistically, you can teach that to the right candidate, but it is very nice to have that coming in the door. Hmm. Another one is just general intellectual curiosity and an interest in learning. It's one of being on the board of directors is it's not something where you come in and you know all the answers on day one. You know, conditions evolve, organizations evolve, markets evolve. So you need to be able to be willing to learn and see what's coming down the pipe. And it kind of ties in with the perspective piece of just always having that interest in looking ahead and learning. And then I think lastly is general professional experience. There's all kinds of schools of thought on what a board member or what a board of directors should be, what the makeup of a board should be, I should say. But in my experience, having professional experience is a huge plus because, again, if you think about some of the things we're doing, we're providing strategic leadership over an organization that stewards our members' nest eggs and some of their, you know, their financial livelihood. So you should have an understanding of business functions and how they interrelate and some of those important pieces. And then I think the last thing I would say, James, is I really think about who we compete with as a credit union. And I'm talking about the big banks and you know, regional banks and just the banks out there in general. And I think about what do their boards look like? What skills do they have? And I think about, you know, we need to keep that in the back of our mind as we recruit and onboard new members to make sure that even once we're on board, that we're working on our own personal development to make sure that, again, beginning with the end in mind, to use my quote, keeping the eye on the prize and making sure that we're able to keep up with those that we're really competing with.
James, I'm so impressed by what you just have stated. I think if you didn't mention intellectual curiosity, I was going to mention it because, I mean, you have just demonstrated this in this interview so far. It's just all over the place. You really have a depth and knowledge, and this is really interesting because we want to add value, and I think you've offered a lot of value. Now there's the next step. Are board assessments a helpful tool to quickly take stock of a board's skill set? You know, so the credit union can work to align their board leadership with their strategy?
I think they are, James. I think, you know, a board assessment could be either a formal or an informal assessment, and you know, it kind of ranges on the maturity of your board, if you will. And I think some boards can routinely have those uncomfortable conversations when they come up about skills and board makeup and when it's time for somebody to go or when it's time to refresh things. And that's great and good for them, and that's a positive thing. On the other hand, there's plenty of credit unions that would benefit from a more formal assessment, whether it's, you know, filling out a survey or having something facilitated just to really, you know, maybe it's just time to level set or it's easier to just have things done by a third party to make sure that, you know, the working relationships all stay positive if there is something that comes out of the assessment. But I'm a huge fan of assessment, whether it's formal or informal. It just kind of depends on where your credit union is.
The next question is related to one of the biggest challenges that credit unions face in terms of trying to recruit younger board members. And again, it's not just check the box. But what are your recommendations or methods to recruit potential board members? Where do we find them? How do we get them interested?
Yeah, that's a great question, James. That's the big one that I hear most often, and it's one of the hardest ones to answer. So I think a couple answers are, first, starting with your personal and professional networks. Who do you know? Who do your friends know? Who do your ex-coworkers know? The great tool for using this, or for going this route, is LinkedIn. That way you can see second and third level connections of the people that you've worked with. And really, if you begin with the end in mind, and you think about what kind of person that you're looking for, or the skills that you're looking for, that can really guide you and determine what the best route would be. So maybe let's say you need somebody with more accounting experience or IT experience or whatever it may be. You can find that on LinkedIn. It's very easy to search for that within your region. You can narrow it down into your metro area or certain companies. So that's a great tool to use, and I would highly recommend checking that out. I think one of the most underappreciated ones, and ones that I like to use, is universities, or, you know, if you have a college in your town or university in your town. Career services departments and professors are typically more than happy to provide a recommendation or a referral. You know, whether it's somebody that's fresh out of school or a distinguished alum that they keep in touch with, it's really a great, great tool to have. And it's a good relationship to build either way with your university, because it could always turn into a regular employment pipeline, or you never know what kind of connections you'll make there. So those are two things that come to mind for recruiting board members, would be LinkedIn and your local university.
Great ideas there. Very nice. Now, what do you think are the biggest challenges credit unions face in identifying and recruiting potential board members?
Yeah, great question. I think the first one is really one of the biggest issues that people face, or credit unions face, is a fear of disrupting the status quo. It's the unknown of bringing somebody in that might make the conversations you've been having that are so comfortable uncomfortable, and bringing new ideas and making people stretch and kind of get out of their comfort zone. So I think, you know, it's natural for humans not to like change. So bringing in somebody new generally brings change with it. So I think that's one of the issues or challenges. I think another one can be really analysis paralysis. That's the, where do we start? What skill do we need? Is it IT? Is it accounting? Is it, who knows what it is? So just thinking about it, you know, it's so hard to find younger board members or new board members or people that are willing to volunteer. So with that analysis paralysis, they just kind of, it falls by the wayside and they don't really actually get to it. And I think another big challenge is time. Volunteering is a commitment. We already do that as part of being on a board. That's a lot of time with board meetings, committee meetings, and studying and research and freshening up on your board pack and all that sort of stuff. And that if you're going to be active and really get out there and recruit people and try and find new members, networking and meeting candidates takes even more time. So it not everybody has that time. So it really can be a big challenge and a big barrier to finding those people out there.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense. Really insightful. Now that we've discussed some tactics for identifying and attracting board members, now is probably a good time to shed some light on retaining board members and orienting new board members. I'm thinking part of that step is having a solid board orientation process, including opportunities for other professional development. What are your thoughts on board orientation and retaining new board members?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, James. It's orientation and onboarding and then retaining are they're really critical to success. I think going back to my quote again, when you begin with the end in mind, it's not about getting a board member in the door. It's not about getting them to sign up and say they're going to volunteer. That's the start of it. That's not the end. So getting them integrated and contributing and up to speed and getting them in the door and, you know, contributing those ideas and bringing that perspective that you looked for in the first place when you brought them in is really what it's all about. That's the goal, to move the organization forward with that perspective. So I think, you know, talking about board orientation more specifically, it's really the process in general, I think, is evolving. I think that's a good thing. I can tell you that it's definitely something that we're working on right now at Firefly. We have meetings coming up about that. It's come up previously. Just really trying to get those people in and what's the right way and the best way to get them the information they need and get them set up for success to set the rest of us up for success as a board. I think within that, there's two core aspects of the orientation process. And I think that's orientation to the credit union itself. How does it operate? Who are the people? What markets do we serve? What's our vision, our mission? But then also an orientation to the board. What's the working style of the board? How do we tend to behave as a team ourselves? And how do we interact with management? And what are some of our strategic priorities and things that we want to get accomplished during the year or during the tenure or whatever it might be? So I think switching over to retention then, keeping people engaged is really going to be, it's really the key. So I think, for example, if you bring in a board member for a targeted skill or perspective, whether it's a business skill or perspective like being a millennial, for example, taking the time to allow that member to lead a discussion or provide insight during a board meeting is really critical. Getting them to, you know, it's really about just that engagement. It, again, it's not beginning with the end in mind. It's not about getting that person into your boardroom and into a seat. It's about getting them to speak and open up and provide that perspective. So I think by just giving them the time and making sure that they're recognized for those contributions will help them stay engaged, which will help retain them and keep them around. And then I think lastly, to answer the last part of your question, give them tools to develop themselves. That's what's going to keep them around and keep them engaged and keep them valuable to the organization. And realistically, that's where Q's comes in. And I've had, I can honestly say, not just because I'm on your show, James, but I can honestly say that I've gotten a lot of really good content from the Q's events that I've gone to.
Oh, that's awesome. Great to hear. Boy, you have such depth to this conversation. I'm so impressed at your, again, that curiosity, but the how you express yourself and knowing that every, you know, it's like you said before, not every boardroom is the same. There's different nuances going on there, and it has to be what works best for your team, and you need to talk about it. That's an important piece, is to really identify your group and identify what needs you have. Really, really interesting. How important is it to clarifying an organization's unique value add when preparing to have discussions with potential millennial board members?
Yeah, good question. I think it's really important. If you think about it, there's so many opportunities now, maybe now more than ever, there's so many opportunities out there to volunteer and to find professional development opportunities, whether it's a networking group or whatever it might be. So I think you really need to differentiate yourself. And I mean, differentiating yourself, I guess, is step one. Step two is just making sure that that person gets involved for the right reasons. If you want somebody to get involved with your organization and for the right reasons, you need to be clear on the value add that your organization brings and the things that you're working on that you're trying to improve for your members and for your community. And I think, you know, one of the easiest things to point to is going to be your mission and your vision. It doesn't necessarily speak directly to the value add in all cases, but it's really about what we're here to do and what we're trying to do. So again, because there's so many opportunities out there, once you do find the right people, and that's a challenge unto itself, like we've talked about, but once you do find those people, getting them on for the right reason, and to pick you above the other volunteer opportunities that are out there is really critical.
There's a lot involved to be ready and be prepared. There's a lot that goes behind those statements. Really interesting. Now, our discussion today is just a little taste of what we'll offer as an expanded version. We'll be at our upcoming Q's Directors Conference. James, you will be there. You'll be a panelist along with two other millennial board members. You're going to serve as panelists on the session entitled How to Recruit, Engage, and Retain Millennial Board Members. This very interactive session will be moderated by Michael Daniel, CEO and co-founder of Quantum Governance L3C. Quantum Governance is Q's partner. You won't want to miss it. The 2019 Q's Directors Conference takes place December 8th through 9th, 2019, at the Loews Royal Pacific Resort, Universal Orlando in Orlando, Florida. The agenda is rich in content. The agenda is relevant and timely for directors. And the outcomes of the sessions will lead to be very reflective in nature, which is a good thing. There are over 30 sessions in all, but we also structure the conference so that you can network. That's a big piece. Network with your team, network with other directors from a variety of countries and asset sizes. What a unique experience to connect. James will be there. So you want, I know when you're listening to this, you will want to have a conversation with him. We should have a booth for him or something out there and set up times. But, well, really interesting very exciting to have James there. Very exciting to have this panelist there. This was derived. This interview became a. James is here because not only because he won the Distinguished Director Award here in 2018, it's because there is a tremendous need and a lot of discussion surrounding the challenge that is out there. And so I hope you find great value in this. And I know you also find great value if you attend that session. Be very interactive. You'll have a chance to ask the panelists and the moderator. They'll have great dialogue between everybody there. So you can find out about this session. You can find out about this agenda. You can go to qs.org/DC. Again, qs.org/DC. James, you are the 2018 Q's Distinguished Director Award recipient. Listeners, we are looking for your nominations for the 2019 Q's Distinguished Director Award. Nominate a credit union director now. It's easy. Just visit qs.org/DD. qs.org/DD for Distinguished Director. Now, James, our conversation has gone by so fast. It was great to connect with you on the show. I'm confident Q's Podcast Nation has enjoyed your insights as well as I have, not just from the director perspective, but from the millennial director perspective and vice chair perspective as well. Listeners, this is a great episode to share with your board or other members of your team. James, do you have a parting message you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, James, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you here and spending time with Q's Podcast Nation. I remember listening to my first Q's podcast like it was just yesterday. But it's been real, Q's Podcast Nation, and I'd love to connect with any of you at this year's Directors Conference. So by all means, come to the session and come find me, and I'd love to chat.
Wonderful. We thank you for your service, James. We wish you continued success in your credit union life, your professional life, as well as your family life. And this may not be an evening time when our listeners are listening to the show. It is for us in this live conversation here. I hope we didn't wake up your little ones at home. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, James. Really looking forward to seeing you in December.
All right, thank you. Wow, wouldn't you like a director like James Sackett on your board? He offered some great insights, a tremendous amount of depth of content and reflection. Now that was a lot of fun. Thank you again, James, for serving as guest on the show. You can tell he really does his homework as a director of his credit union. You can meet him at the 2019 Q's Directors Conference. As noted, he'll be part of a panel session. You and your board members will have the chance to explore even greater perspective and get a lot of solutions to stand up against the challenges you face. We'll have so many timely topics of discussions at this conference. Our topics include strategic governance, turning your branches into real assets, digital transformation, risk management, strategic planning, an economic overview, board assessment, blockchain, making digital personal, situational strategies for board members, critical responsibilities for new board members, an NCUA update, how to be a visionary leader, and so much more. If you are a board member and take pride in your personal professional development, Directors Conference is for you. This is the premier conference for all credit union directors. It takes place December 8th through the 11th of 2019 in Orlando. For more information and how to register, it's easy. Visit qs.org/DC. Again, qs.org/DC. We've had James Sackett as guest today. He was the 2018 Q's Distinguished Director recipient. The Q's Distinguished Director Award is bestowed upon a director or committee member who has rendered distinguished service and/or made outstanding contributions to strengthen their credit union or the industry. Nominate someone now. The deadline for nomination submission is July 31st, so act now. It's easy. Just visit qs.org/DD. For more talent development content from Q's, visit Q's.org, that is C-U-E-S.O-R-G. If you're a Q's member, you have access to invaluable membership benefits to further enhance your development. Visit Q's.org/membership to learn more. Q's is an international credit union association. Our mission is to educate and develop credit union CEOs, executives, directors, and future leaders. To learn how Q's can help you realize your potential, visit Q's.org today.